Good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus, the one that we have come to worship, and I trust we have already done that. I trust you have been blessed by the singing of the songs, the reading of the Word, study of the Word, and now we want to share a few further thoughts. Today is the day that is designated by our land as Father's Day. And it's a day to especially recognize the place that we as fathers have or that our fathers have in our lives. I was looking quite a bit what the Bible had to say as far as God the Father. And that would be an interesting study. I didn't really have in mind to go down that route this morning. But there's a number of places in the Old Testament where God says that He's the Father of His people. And then, of course, Jesus was the Son, and He referred often to the Father. And but I did find that of interest. But this morning, I would like to look a little more specifically at what it means to be and how to fill the role of a Christian father. So I've entitled the message this morning, Characteristics of a Christian Father. And I guess I hesitate almost to go into this morning. As I looked at this subject, I saw so many areas in my own life where things could have been, should have been different. And I appreciated what Brother John shared this morning as far as choices. And that certainly is a very strong result of our choices, the number of the things that I would like to share here this morning. We think of a father as one who begets a child, but it can also be someone that has adopted or is a step or a father or one who takes the role of relating to a child in a leading figure or maybe a authority figure in their life. And you know, as we look at the world about us, we could say a father's a father. And in a lot of ways that is true. But I believe that there are characteristics that set a Christian father somewhat apart from a father in our general society. Young man, maybe you feel you can go to sleep this morning, and go ahead, I guess, if you really feel that way, that this really doesn't apply to you. But you know, I think even though you're not a father, God may call you to this someday. And it's good if you develop ideals and keep in mind the possibility that someday you may need to fill this role. And so, young ladies, I guess you can tune me out because you'll never be a father. But you ought to be thinking of what you would like to have if the Lord grants you a home. What kind of man you would like to be a father to your children? And first of all, my encouragement would be that it be a Christian father. Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. And so it's saying here the grandchildren is the crowning experience, you might say, of old man. But it also goes on to say that the father is or should be the glory of their children. Fathers here this morning, are you a glory? Are you a glory to your children? Do they appreciate the way you live your life and the way you relate to them? You know, I believe to be a father is one of the greatest callings that there can be. It's one of great responsibility. It's one of eternal consequences. And I have to think about a father that holds that little child for the first time. And maybe specifically a first-time father. And looks into the face of that innocent child that is basically a reproduction of himself. And it's a time of wonderment, not fully grasping that here is my own flesh and blood. And to me, he or she has been entrusted to care. One that's going to look to me for guidance. Not fully really realizing the implication of what it's going to mean to be a father. Because each child is different. A new father, or a father of a new child, does not know the joys and or the heartaches that may be in the future. And so I think that there's a number of things that, as Christian fathers, some characteristics that will help to guide us through. And so I have a number of them listed, a number of things that came to mind. I'll try to move right along here because we can't spend a lot of time on any one of them. But I think the first is very obvious. A characteristic of a Christian father is that he is a spiritual man. A true Christian must be born of the Spirit of God. And a born-again man is going to find interest in the things of God. And I was thinking a little bit of Titus chapter 2. Not going to read a lot here, but it talks about men. It talks about aged men. It talks about young men. It says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. Sound in faith. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. And I think this idea of sober would have not so much the look on your face as to living a temperate life, one that is under the control of God. And so a spiritual man is going to make decisions for his life in the context of what God wants and not what he wants. The spiritual man is going to spend time in the Word of God and prayer. A spiritual man is not going to direct his home simply on what he can gain personally. The prestige, the place of honor, the ability to give direction and to say how things are going to be done with his wife and children. But he's going to have the eternal good of each one in his heart. Secondly, the characteristic of a Christian father is a man of self-discipline. And I don't necessarily have these in the order of how they should be. I think the first one is, as far as a spiritual man. But a man of self-discipline. You know, until a man has mastery of his own life, he's not fit to be a father. He needs to realize that his life is going to be an example to his children. And so if he lives a life of selfishness and selfish pursuits and selfish interests and does what he pleases, when he pleases, and how he pleases, and has not brought his life under self-discipline, he's not fit to be a father. I'd like to read Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9 says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from the heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." And that'll go on a little bit further when we get to the point of being a teacher. But keep thy soul diligently would be the thought here. We need to realize and understand that no matter how successful a man is in the world, if he fails in his home responsibility, he's a failure. And so the decisions he makes for his life now no longer just affect himself, but it has consequences for his wife and for his children. And so a man that is taken up with pursuits of his own interest only can become self-centered and not fit to be the kind of father that is needed to rear children for the Lord. A third characteristic of a Christian father is a leader. And a lot of these things that I'm saying is true whether Christian or non-Christian. But I think specifically we want to look at the Christian aspect of this. It is the responsibility of the father to lead out in the home. He is the one that needs to make spiritual and material and social decisions. And, you know, we think of Abraham as being a leader in his home. And God knew him. And God said, I know him, that he will command his children and household after him. That word after would have the thought of leading. Abraham was leading his household in the ways of God. So many decisions fall on the shoulders of the father. Both the wife and the children appreciate and look up to a man that is decisive. Now, I say they appreciate. Sometimes they might not appreciate as they should. But I'm saying decisive, not bullheaded. If we're going to just live a bullheaded life, you're going to leave some trails that ought not to be. Husbands, you've been given a helper by God. Take her counsel. Listen to what she says. Weigh her concerns. But then, as leader in your home, it's up to you to make the final decision, and you will be responsible for that decision that's made for your home. You know, if we as men, or if you as a man, or me as a man, if we're undecided too long, those who we are responsible for will begin not to respect us because we don't have the ability to think through problems as we should. But on the other hand, if decisions are made spur of the moment without due thought, it can be difficult for the wife and children to appreciate that. I guess the way we men are made up, God made us with the characteristic, the ability to look at major issues, to come to a relatively quick decision, and to move on. And so, when you have given due consideration, and your mind is made up, don't change your mind except for very good and sound reasons. One reason I say that, because that becomes very, unsettling for those for whom you are responsible. A child feels security when he has a father that will not yield to pressure. Think about our relationship to God our Father. Suppose that God our Father changed his mind every couple years or whatever. But you know, if a child can, they might coax and beg and plead. But once you have made a decision, stick with it. They will follow a leader who knows what he believes and is willing to live that way. I think of the qualifications that are given for a bishop, and I think this is true, should be true for all Christian men. 1 Timothy 3, 4, and 5 says, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And we might be able to paraphrase that a little bit and say, if a man knows not how to lead his own house, how can he lead in the church of God? All right. Number four, a characteristic of a Christian father is a teacher. Isn't it something that every child comes into this world without any knowledge, not one bit of knowledge? Where's he going to get it? We know it's sobering to realize in a few short years, he's going to know a lot of things. And if you don't believe it, just listen to a 4 or 5 year old rattle on. They know a lot of things. Where did they get that? They got it somewhere. They got it from someone. And mostly from father and mother. it's largely the father's responsibility to oversee the education of his child, whether it's lessons at home, or whether it's school, or whether it's church. What environment, fathers, are you going to place your children? You know, I've seen, I'm sure we've all seen, parents who, I guess you might say, for the privilege of some leeway in their Christian life and experience, maybe they go to a setting that isn't quite as sound as what it could or should be, and they put their children in that setting. And what are their children going to pick up? Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we need to help them grow. We need to nurture. We need to teach. We need to admonish. You know, there are lots of things for a child to learn. Good habits, manners, proper speech, industry, the truth of God's Word, as well as academic knowledge. And even though the mother plays a very vital role in teaching, yet I believe the ultimate responsibility rests with the father. And maybe it's just too easy to shove it off onto the mother. Well, let the mother take care of that. I don't think I fully understood that in my earlier years of parenting, and maybe I still don't fully understand it as I should. But it is the father's responsibility. So take time to answer questions. You know, it can be a little bit trying sometimes when a child asks question after question after question. And after a while, you just feel like saying, shut up. We've had enough of this today. Let's go get on with something else. But what are those questions for? Be interested in what they are interested in. Now, I'm not saying that we should allow a child just to take over and dominate the conversation, dominate the day. But a serious question deserves consideration. And my pet answer to questions of my children was, I don't know. So many times, I just did not know. If I did, I tried to find out or whatever. The wise man that wrote the book of Solomon, or the wise man Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, he wrote to his children, his son. In the first number of chapters, almost every chapter begins with my son or hear instructions. If you want to turn with me, maybe you could to Proverbs 4. I'd like to read the last part of that chapter. And this is directed to his son. And think about the teaching that is going on here. Proverbs 4, verses 20 to the end of the chapter. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Well, in his teaching here, he addresses what his son hears, what he sees, what he does. Where he goes, keep the heart with all diligence. All right. The fifth characteristic we want to think of is that a Christian father should be a companion. Someone that a child can confide in. Someone that is interested even in the little problems. It takes time to be a father. And I noticed that with my children. You know, sometimes you kind of think you really ought to have a little bit of time to yourself to do some things. But often, a child will say, well, you know, ask a question or want to talk or want to do this or that. And, well, if we always say, well, no, I don't have time right now. No, that doesn't meet the need of companionship. So do you take the time? Do you know your child? Or are your children just someone to boss around and tell them to get out of the way because you have more important things to do? There's more important things to do than to meet their needs. You know, in reality, your family wants you, not the money you earn or the things you provide, necessarily. I think it's good to do things as a family, but it's also good to do things individually with a child. Let the child know that he's special. And time that is spent with a child multiplies as far as rewards in later life. I'm going to read Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. Now this is speaking of a father whose child has chosen to follow the Lord, and he's going to greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. And so there is a rejoicing when a child follows in the way of the Lord. You know, I believe that our children should want to have us around and not try to, what would you say, try to arrange things so that we don't have to be where they are. A man is successful when he walks up to the path leading home and his children run with eagerness to greet him and his wife meets him at the door with a smile. You know, what a contrast to those whose children fear run and hide. I'd like to read a little something here. It's called A Father's 10 Precepts. I don't know if I'd necessarily say these are the 10 commandments, but there's 10 precepts. One, he makes himself responsible for his child's behavior. Two, he is never blinded by love to his child's best interest by recognizing and correcting weakness. Three, he makes his child feel secure. Four, he shares in his child's activities. Five, he has his child's complete confidence. Six, he always is available to help solve youthful problems. Seven, he doesn't demand filial devotion. He wins it. Eight, he recognizes and accepts as largely his responsibility for his child's mental and spiritual development. Nine, he contributes to making the home the child's haven. And 10, he strives to be honest with his children. And these kind of fit in with a number of the different points here. Thought I'd give that sometime. All right. The sixth characteristic would be a protector. You know, the world is full of evil. And there's many things that seek to destroy our children and the innocence of our children. And God has given to the father the responsibility to protect, to keep them from evil and keep evil from them. You know, the man is bigger, has features and characteristics that lend a little bit more towards protection. So maybe not quite so much like in the pioneer days when the father needed to protect from wild beasts and so on, but I believe it is important today to protect our families from the evil society in which we live. The father needs to stand as a wall, as a barrier between his family and the ravenous world that would seek to destroy. Well, I'd like to ask this. How can a father protect, be a wall of protection, if he involves himself so much in the things of this world that there's hardly a distinction between him and the world, that there's not that separation there? But you know, there's things that need to be guarded, such as music and reading and associations, and like we talked about Wednesday evening, electronic involvement and so on. A child needs security. and he should find it in his father. It's important to warn against evils. Again, I'm going to read a little bit from Proverbs 4, verses 3 and 4. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved, in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Here was a father that stood as a protector. If you are the kind of protector that you should be, a Christian protector, then your family will most likely look to you in complete confidence and trust. Another thing a father is, number 7, is a provider. God has given the major responsibility of providing for, making a living, meeting the needs of the family to the father. And we could go to Genesis 3 there, where God told Adam that in the you're going to need to till the ground, in the sweat of thy face will you earn your bread. And then in 1 Timothy 5:8 it says, if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, providing for the material needs of the family can be very demanding. We know it's a challenge. Sometimes it's difficult to make ends meet and yet spend time with the family as you should. And because of the curse, we eat our bread in sorrow and earn it by the sweat of the brow. You know, often a child has no concept of what it takes to meet the needs of a family. You know, sit down to a meal 3 times a day, just expect it to be there. Where does it come from? How does it get there? Who fixes it? Who provides it? A child often doesn't think of those things, and that's all right. All right, number 8, a Christian father is going to be a disciplinarian. Now, the society in which we live, discipline is looked down on. Just let the child learn himself, let him express himself, let him be his own person. But you know, a Christian father realizes that a child, that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And he needs to be restrained and he needs to be directed in the right way and he needs to be disciplined accordingly. And I believe that a father needs to lead out in the correction of children. Now often the mother spends more time with them and she cannot really wait till the father gets home if he's away from home and needs to administer discipline herself. But I believe that the father needs to take the responsibility of setting the bounds. And the mother should, as much as possible, see that his directives are carried out in his absence. And to mothers, I would say, you know, don't work around or behind his back and allow things that the father has given definite directions on. And that's one thing I really felt blessed with my wife. I never felt that she tried to undercut or change. Now, she didn't necessarily always agree, maybe with where I came out. Not always. But she never undermined that. Proverbs 13:24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So that's in the Old Testament, but the New Testament also speaks about this. In Colossians 3, verse 21, it says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And I would take that to mean that fathers need to take charge of things and discipline as needed. Now, we as fathers, particularly with younger children, have greater strength. We have a position of dominance, a position of authority, and consequently can take advantage of a child because of that. But I'd like to encourage to be consistent, that today is the same as yesterday, and tomorrow is going to be the same as today. To be consistent. I think a father needs to represent firmness and strictness, and yet kindness and understanding. But it's through this that a child is prepared for the rigors of adult life. You know, a disciplined child is a happier child. I suppose you've probably noticed that as you go out and about in the society. There's some very unhappy children out there. And there's some very frustrated parents. And I believe that that is a lack of proper discipline. Another characteristic of a Christian father is a man of kindness. Because a man has sterner qualities, which we've talked about a little bit, sometimes he's not as kind and gentle as he should be. He should not be selfish and unfeeling, but he should share with his family. He doesn't have to be extravagant what he supplies, but he needs to share. He needs to be kind and understanding of the needs and wants and desires of his family. Jesus asked a rather interesting question in Luke 11. Luke 11, verses 11 and 12, it says, this is in relation to prayer, to ask and seek and find and so on. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? So the point is that a father wants to give good things to his children. Now, it's been my observation that it seems like there are some fathers that delight in saying no. Now, we need to say no many times, and it needs to stick. But I think our no's, the no's that we say, should have a reason. They should be thought out. They shouldn't just be a knee-jerk reaction that I have control of the situation, I'm Lord over you, and you just have nothing to say about this. One of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And I think that comes under kindness. And that's a needed attribute in dealing with children. Another characteristic of a Christian father is an example. The father's life should be a pattern that the children can safely follow. The child is going to get his... To me, this is serious. The child is going to get his early impression of the nature of God from his father. So what does your child envision God to be? You need to be an example. Usually, or often, a child aspires to be like his father. I have this little poem I'd like to read. It's entitled, "Just Like His Dad." Well, what are you going to be, my boy, when you have reached manhood years? A doctor, a lawyer, or orator great, moving throngs to laughters and tears? But he shook his head as he gave reply in a serious way he had. I don't think I care to be any of them. I want to be like my dad. He wants to be like his dad? You men, did you ever think, as you pause, that the boy who watches your every move is building a set of laws? He's molding a life you're the model for, and whether it's good or bad depends on the kind of example set to the boy who'd be like his dad. Would you have him go everywhere you go, have him do just the things you do, and see everything that your eyes behold, and woo all the gods you woo? When you see the worship that smiles in his eyes of your lovable little lad, could you rest content if he gets his wish and grows to be like his dad? It's a joy that none but yourself can fill. It's a charge you must answer for. It's a duty to show him the road to tread ere he reaches his manhood's door. It's a debt you owe for the greatest joy on this old earth to be had, this pleasure of having a boy to raise who wants to be like his dad. And fathers, I would say this. Now that talks about the son. It's important to have a right relationship with your daughters as well. You know, She will learn from you the characteristics that are important to look for in a potential husband. One more characteristic I'd like to share, and that is a guide. And this goes beyond maybe the early childhood days. There comes a time when that child changes and becomes an adult or works toward that. And you no longer hold him or her in your arms. You no longer straighten him out with a well-placed smack on the seat of his pants. There comes a time when correction gives way to guidance. I've got another poem here that I thought was interesting. It's entitled, My Lad. You're growing big and strong, my lad, and that's so pleasing to your dad. But I'll admit, through coming days, I'll miss your simple childish ways. When first you walked by daddy's side, how small you were, how short your stride. But now, oh, how the years flip by. You're almost as strong, tall and strong as I. And now when we go for a walk, you step right up with me and talk. As man to man, not as a child, and thus are many hours beguiled. No more you'll ride on daddy's back, no stride my foot and trot and rack. And in the dark when fears alarm, no more you'll cuddle in my arms, but though you're growing up so fast, I want that simple love to last. That childlike trust in me, my lad, will always comfort your old dad. And so the thought here is that there's changes. And what do we do? What do we do in those changes? You know, a father can maybe have faithfully trained children in younger years and made sure that they were obedient and everything, but then when they come to later years, make mistakes as far as being a guide and being an example. And when the time of adolescence comes, there's an awakening physically and emotionally and spiritually, and these can be turbulent years, and how are you going to guide your children through that? And so I believe that it's important to watch carefully and to direct in a Christian way. And we understand that there are those who are going to, children that are going to make right or wrong choices. And I think the important thing is not to follow them in those choices, but rather to be consistent. And this can be, certainly is a grief to parents. But you know, one of the saddest things I think we see is when a parent tries to follow along and keep good relations with a child, but gives up principle and conviction to do that. So be consistent so that the child knows that your principles are deeply rooted and will not change. Happy are the parents who have children who walk in the way of the Lord. I've already mentioned that, but I would like to read a little bit here from Psalm 128, verses 1 to 4. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. I'd like to ask a question this morning, fathers. What kind of a father are you? I guess I had to ask myself that question. Now I'd like to, just about out of time here, but I'd like to just share a few thoughts, maybe with children and with youth particularly. You know, what does Father's Day mean to you? Maybe it's a day to get a card and say Happy Father's Day and go on in your own self-centered way. Do what you want to do. Ephesians, I know you know this and you've heard it often, but it bears repeating. What the book of Ephesians says to children, it says, chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And so children in the home setting need to be obedient. And you don't have to say, why? Well, why do I have to do that? And then dad says, because I said so. Well, the first thing, the question is wrong. Second thing, maybe the response could be better. But anyhow, obey. But then honor is a lifelong responsibility. Now, my father has been gone for 19 years now. So does that now mean that I'm free to do as I please? It doesn't matter anymore. I no longer have that influence. I no longer have that restraint. He's not here anymore, so I'll do as I please. You know, I often think, and probably as time goes on, maybe more so, the influence and the direction that my father had and tried to give in my life. And I have to ask myself that question sometimes. Am I honoring my father? Where do you come out on some of that? And I believe that as sons and daughters, we should give honor, and especially to a Christian father. Now, having said that, every Christian father is going to make some mistakes. There may be things in the past that you can't really appreciate. And you know that there's places where he failed. But that leaves no excuse to disregard his concerns and his teachings. And so, this morning I trust that as fathers, we will make a renewed effort to be what God would have us to be as Christian fathers. And that as mothers, you support your husband, and yet you rest in his care and provisions. And that as children, you have a renewed desire to honor and respect the one that God has given to you. For some reason, and we don't understand all these things, but for some reason, God has given you the father and the mother that you have. You did not make that choice. Neither did they make the choice as to you being their child. But God has placed us there, and so we need to honor that God-given position. We'll call for a closing song.